The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. The bow of Jonathan retreated not backward, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. They were swifter than eagles, and prevailed more than lions. David remembered Saul and Jonathan, who fought and died for their kingdom, as swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. What an image! It is an image that seems fitting in remembering those who have fallen for the United States of America as well. Swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. We should all take a moment over this Memorial Day weekend to remember those who have paid the ultimate price in the service of their nation. But when we do, we should keep in mind that those who have died would most likely not want us to honor them personally. Many of them would probably even say, "We were just doing our job." Whether the soldier died in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I or II, or any of the more recent military conflicts, the fallen would likely say that protecting this nation was worth the price. We can imagine one of them saying that if we today continue to protect this nation from threats to its goodness, then his death was worth it. Memorial Day is an opportunity to reflect on what in this nation must be protected. It is an opportunity to think about what those who died fought to preserve. And it is an opportunity to honor their sacrifice by committing ourselves to being worthy stewards of the blessings the Lord has bestowed upon this country. In the Word, the Lord invites us to reflect on similar considerations in regard to the church, which is our neighbor on an even higher level than our country. David, in a memorial address of sorts, lamented the death of Saul and Jonathan, two mighty Israelite warriors who died in battle against the Philistines. But the purpose of David's lamentation was not simply to exalt the heroic efforts of these men. The stated purpose of his address was to teach the sons of Judah the bow. David, it appears, was using this opportunity to inspire the soldiers of the tribe of Judah for combat that was to come. He was preparing them for future service and protection of the kingdom. Though David's lamentation of the deaths of Saul and Jonathan, through it, the Lord has given us the same opportunity in the Word to reflect on how we can be of service to the Lord as his divine truth protects the church. When David was promoting the gallantry of Saul and Jonathan, the Lord was preserving forever truths which he uses now to teach us how the church is protected by his divine truth. David remembered Saul and Jonathan by emphasizing that the bow of Jonathan retreated not backward, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. The Lord teaches us in the heavenly doctrine that Saul, here as king, and Jonathan, as the son of a king, mean truth, protecting the church. Through David's memorial for the purpose of teaching the sons of Judah the bow, the Lord is teaching us too, right now, how to receive the heavenly doctrine so we can serve the Lord in protecting the church. Just as remembering the sacrifices of those who have served our nation motivates us to protect it, David's address motivated the sons of Judah to protect Israel. And in the internal sense, this means serving the Lord in protecting the church through his divine truth. The Lord is calling us to join the ranks of the sons of Judah, and he is teaching us how to use the bow. In reference to the church, the sons of Judah signify the truths of the church, and the bow means the doctrine of truth combating falsities. But in reference to each one of us individually, the sons of Judah are those who are in the good of love. The Lord will enlist us to protect the church with his truth only if we answer this call from love. The church can only be protected by those who answered the Lord's call to combat falsities with truth from the goodness of the Lord's love. As the Lord teaches in Arcana Celestia, the reason why truth is strong is that good acts through truth. For good is of such a nature that nothing of evil or of falsity can approach it. Thus, none of the infernal crew who flee far away when good approaches, or when an angel who is in good approaches. But in order that good may fight with that crew which is with man from hell and protect him in every way, good acts through truth. For in this way it can approach them. Like Saul and Jonathan attacking the Philistines, truth from the Lord's love approaches that infernal crew with the swiftness of an eagle and the power of a lion. We can picture that eagle gliding through the valley, watching below and looking with eyes that have the sight of telescopes. This is how the Lord's truth operates in us when we love it. It elevates our minds. We reflect from it. Everything we see is from it. And when the Lord's divine truth in us identifies a threat from hell, it descends more swiftly than an eagle to confront that evil and see it for what it is. Then the power of the Lord's divine truth prevails with more strength than the most powerful beast on earth. Here's a striking image provided by the Lord in Apocalypse Explained. A lion is often mentioned in the word, and in the highest sense, a lion signifies the Lord in relation to divine truth. Likewise, heaven and the church in respect to divine truth from the Lord. And from this, a lion signifies divine truth in respect to power. This makes evident what to roar, or the roaring of a lion, signifies. Namely, an ardent affection for defending heaven and the church, and thus for saving the angels of heaven and the men of the church, which is done by destroying the falsities of evil by means of divine truth and its power. In your mind's ear, just listen for a moment to what that divine roar might sound like as it wards off the infernal crew, as it defends the establishment of the Lord's church on earth. When the hells attack the church in us by suggesting, for example, that we compromise what the Lord has so beautifully taught us about love truly conjugal and reject truths about how He has created men and women to be different but complementary, we need to invite the swift and powerful influence of the Lord's truth to chase these falsities away. However, we can be sure the attacks will return. Maybe next the hells will try to stir up hatred and contempt in us against those who they are using to attack the church. Again, the swift and powerful truth of the Lord will come to our rescue. As the Lord teaches us in Matthew, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them who curse you. Do well to them who hate you, and pray for those who harm you and persecute you. Every time we see these challenges to the church coming, we can pray to the Lord for help, and He will defend us and the church with His truth more swiftly than eagles and more powerfully than lions. We can even call upon the Lord for help picturing and hearing the lion's roar as an ardent affection for defending heaven and the church, as the Lord says in Apocalypse Explained. Now, returning to the memory of those who have died for our nation, perhaps we have also heard that lion's roar in defense of the ideals of freedom that this nation stands for. Ideals that preserve an environment of religious liberty that seems so vital to the defense of the church. Ideals that many have laid down their lives to defend. Maybe that roar was heard during the Revolutionary War, when Captain John Paul Jones was leading his men in one of the greatest naval battles in history. As half his crew sustained casualties, he shouted across his sinking vessel to his British counterpart, "I have not yet begun to fight." Maybe we have heard that roar in the Civil War when Colonel Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, out of ammunition and protecting the flank of a nation seeking to end the evil of slavery, simply shouted to his men, "Bayonet." Maybe we have heard that roar in the distinct voice of Winston Churchill, who in the face of the German Blitzkrieg called for victory at all costs, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. This Memorial Day weekend, we can reflect on those who have died and laid down their lives for this country. But when we reflect on their sacrifice, like David remembered Saul and Jonathan, we can do it with the purpose of continuing to defend the great ideals of this nation that they died for. And in an even higher sense, we can use the occasion to renew our commitment to serve the Lord's continuing defense of the church through his divine truth that acts more swiftly than eagles and more powerfully than lions. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.